Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Governor Gavin Newsom has spent the week visiting homeless service providers in Grass Valley, San Diego, Los Angeles, and Fresno. This homeless tour kicks off his ambitious agenda to address the state's growing homelessness crisis. He wrapped it up yesterday. So, what's the immediate result? Well, Newsom says the state plans on using 100 FEMA trailers to provide temporary shelter and services to the homeless. The first 15 travel trailers will house between 50 and 70 people in East Oakland. KQED's housing reporter Aaron Baldessari has more.
The trailers were lined up in two rows on a small corner of an empty lot within eyesight of the Oakland Coliseum. They come equipped with a double bed, a set of bunk beds, a kitchenette, and a bathroom. It's sites like these that the governor says he wants to use right away to get people off the streets, part of $1.4 billion in proposed funding aimed at tackling what Newsom called the issue of our time.
The issue of homelessness is a crisis in the state of California. It has happened on our watch, and we need to meet this moment.
His office has identified more than 1,300 such sites across the state. Those properties will be used for emergency housing, like the Oakland location, for healthcare or supportive services, or to build permanent, affordable housing. For the California Report, I'm Aaron Baldessari in Oakland.
And in immigration news, this afternoon, a federal judge in San Diego will meet with Trump administration lawyers and the ACLU to oversee continuing efforts to reunite the more than 5,500 migrant families who've been separated by U.S. immigration officials at the U.S.-Mexico border. But earlier this week, the same judge ruled that the government may continue separating families for a number of reasons. KQED's immigration editor Taiki Hendricks reports.
For more than a year and a half, Judge Dana Sabra has been prodding the administration to identify all the separated children and locate their mothers and fathers, many of whom have been deported back to Central America. Now Sabra has ruled that border officials can take children away, not only when they believe the parent is a danger, but also if the parent has any criminal history or a communicable disease, or if a DNA test proves the adult is not the parent. He said the government is entitled to consider national security as well as child welfare. More than 1,100 migrant kids have been taken from parents for such reasons since June of 2018, when the judge ordered a stop to most family separations. For the California Report, I'm Taiki Hendricks.
Also in San Diego, the Border Patrol there is apologizing for the destruction of a garden along the border fence with Mexico last week. KPBS reporter Max Rivlin-Nadler tells us gardeners will soon be allowed to rebuild.
For 12 years, what is known as the Friendship Garden had straddled the border fence between San Diego and Tijuana. Last Wednesday, Daniel Wattman, a co-founder of the garden, was stunned to find that Border Patrol had bulldozed the U.S. side and its dozens of native plants. Officials initially said that the garden on the U.S. side had become overgrown and was being used as cover for smugglers. Wattman says the garden was a tool meant to bring the two divided communities together.
The idea of Friendship Park is for people to make friends through the fence, so we thought it would be nice to have an intentional space where that could happen. As the walls came in, it became more important as kind of a resistance tool to the policies of division.
After community outcry, Border Patrol issued a new statement apologizing for its, quote, unintentional destruction of the garden. It said that originally the goal was just to have it trimmed back. Volunteers were told that they would be able to begin replanting the garden later this month. For the California Report, I'm Max Rivlin-Nadler in Tijuana.
My co-host Lily Jamali has been reporting from Paradise this week. She's looking at how the town is rebuilding 14 months after the campfire killed 85 residents and destroyed 11,000 homes. The rebuilding process is raising questions about whether Paradise will remain the same affordable community that was there before the fire. Here's Lily's report.
At Chico State, a group of researchers sits in a corner classroom on the fifth floor of Butte Hall. Since the campfire, they've been studying how the communities affected by the fire have changed. Looking through property data, researcher Peter Hansen has noticed this about homes slated to be rebuilt in Paradise.
60% of the new permitted structures are bigger than their predecessor.
Insurance money is a big part of the reason why so many homes are being built bigger. That money has made its way to some Paradise residents, but there are plenty who haven't been so lucky.
On one hand, you have people that are rebuilding or able to rebuild. At the same time, these other individuals that also experience the same campfire trauma are still seeking the most basic needs.
Chico State Geography Professor Jackie Chase says this finding highlights how the campfire has created more distance between the haves and the have-nots, people who had good insurance and those who were underinsured or had none.
To see people inflating the size of their homes to a larger footprint is just another kind of indignity of the fire and what we're learning about it in its aftermath.
Patty Savage had lived in her house for 12 years before the fire swept through. She shows me the land where her house once stood. All that survived was a concrete bird feeder left by the previous owner.
I get up here and I kind of get lost.
Savage had planned to use her insurance money to build something smaller, as construction costs have soared. But she spent much of the last year tussling with her insurance company.
I couldn't get a straight answer out of my insurance on what they're going to pay, and obviously they're doing everything they can not to pay.
Savage once thought she'd be among the first to rebuild. Now, she's not sure she'll be able to stay in Paradise after all. For the California Report, I'm Lily Jamali in Paradise.
And that's the California Report for Friday, January 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Katie McMurrin and Rob Spate, with additional engineering from Seal Muller. The show is produced by Mary Franklin Harvin, Kate Wolf, Alice Wolfley, Raquel Maria Dillon, and Angela Corral. Hey, if you want more news from around the state, check out our podcast. It includes stories from both our daily newscasts. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Have a good Martin Luther King Day weekend.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And Personal Capital, offering financial planning with registered advisors and serving over 2 million people with online financial tools. PersonalCapital.com.